Hey, Brian Parker here today. I'm with my trusty assistant, associate, Lucky. I don't know how long he patiently is going to be there, but he wants to help. So today we're doing, it's federal lawsuit week. And so today we're going to do another one on federal claims. As I said earlier in the week in my first video on these things, people say, hey, do you sue? I see you defend. Do you sue? Yeah. I'm a defender, as they say, 99% of the time. And as I discussed on, let's say it's Monday's video, it's real tough to get into federal court unless you got some good damages. So this case is one of many I filed in the last couple of years regarding identity theft. So my client was facing a lawsuit for a debt from Synchrony Bank that he did not owe and was sued by an old debt buy, meaning they buy old debt, second round sub. Check them out, see if they're in your district. But Stillman Law was the company that aggressively sued my client. I'm going to turn my camera so you can just see Lucky moved. Say hello, Lucky. Yep, that's my assistant, probably going to owe residuals on this. The client had their ID stolen, and they found that out by the word from Stillman Law that he owed this debt in a lawsuit. I think it was like $5,000. So he defended on his own, and this is what happens, and it's logical, but unfortunately, debt collectors don't operate on logic. He said, well, it's not my debt. There shouldn't be a problem. And he wrote a single sentence to the court going, not my debt and no idea what this is, and filed it. Didn't file an answer, didn't get an attorney. Again, he's done nothing wrong. It's a common thing that we all think is going to work, and it should, but we're not living in that kind of environment. A debt collector looks at it and goes, oh, unrepresented? I can really abuse this guy. And so they put this gentleman through the ringer before he got an attorney. So then he filed a police report. And then he said, look, I filed a police report. This isn't my debt. And indeed, in this case, the address on the original creditor's paperwork had him in Florida. He doesn't live in Florida. And he has a very unusual name. And it's not unusual, but it's the name that they had it under was similar to his, but not exactly his, not a name that he's ever gone by. So he decided, I can just take care of this myself, right? They'll listen to me. And they said, well, we'll listen to you if you file a ID affidavit. So when I preach and talk in terms of FCRA disputes, when something's on your credit and someone's stolen your ID and that stuff ends up on your credit, then you need to do a police report, and you need to do an ID theft affidavit. Collection agencies will listen to your defense and go, send us an ID affidavit, thinking you'll never do that. He did. And he said to them, hey, I don't own this debt. He swore under oath. He said, I've done all you can. So he handed them the answer. He handed them, okay, I got another guy here. He handed them the answer. He told them it's not mine. He told the court. He filled out their ID theft affidavit. Now check this out. He did everything he could. So he's in the midst of this lawsuit, and instead of the Stillman Law Group and Second Round Sub going, you know what, poor guy, sorry about this, sir. They filed the worst thing you can do in a lawsuit, the most hostile motion, which is a motion for summary disposition. So he's facing now a ton of paperwork, a motion for summary disposition. And in the motion for summary disposition, this firm wrote, he's done nothing to help himself. So that's the type of stuff I think they wrote, and we'll show it. In fact, I'll show it to you right now. I was going to show you later in the video. Here's what they wrote after all that stuff I just told you. In the state case, they wrote this, Shazam. And you can see I've underlined where they said, he didn't give us any documentation. What are we supposed to do? So after he gave all this documentation, so now he realizes common sense and being nice isn't going to get you anywhere with this debt collector. Hires an attorney, me, and within 2 days of my making an appearance, my associates jumping up and down here, within 2 days of making an appearance, they suddenly decided, yeah, we better dismiss this case. Parker's client is making sense here. We shouldn't have bothered him with this just because he got an attorney. I hate that. On a personal note, I used to get these screaming calls of my secretary. The secretary passed it to me, and the person screaming at her now is my best friend, and how you doing, Mr. Parker? And that bothered the heck out of me, that just because someone was an attorney, you get to be rude to them. Well, that's what they did to my client here. Because now he's represented by an attorney, everything he says makes sense and is true. And sorry to bother you, sir. So that, usually, if I'm pissed off, it's not a reason to file a lawsuit, but I get pissed off at the inequity, at the how unfair. But as we talked about, and as I will end this video, Article 3 standing is the new smoking in this case. If you don't have good damages and a particularized concrete injury as a result of whatever you're claiming they did to you, they're going to kick you out of federal court based on Article 3 standing. This has recently got enforced through a case called TransUnion v. Ramirez, and it's irrelevant unless you get into this stuff and you're facing a bad thing on your credit report, TransUnion versus Ramirez, or you're trying to get into federal court. So the facts as they were, I said, enough of this, I'm filing against these guys. So I'm going to look down on my laptop as I'm reading to you. I'm actually getting pissed right now about what they did to this poor guy, because he's the nicest guy, he's just trying to get along. He received a collection lawsuit. They showed him that he was being sued for something he had no idea. He never took any money, never bought anything on the card, and he wrote that to them. The bank statements supplied with the lawsuit didn't show any connection to him. So he filed his police report. And again, the moral of the story is you can't trust debt collectors. And when you're facing this thing that you think you can logically get yourself out of, jump out of that box for a second and do what my client did. File an identity theft affidavit. File with the police department. Sign whatever they want you to sign. And he signed it under oath. And here are the reasons why he did what he did. He signed that theft affidavit and showed that the only address he lived at since 2000 was an that was not the address that was on the banking statements they were producing. The information for reporting of his ID theft to the Saginaw County Sheriff's Office showed that he was dutifully saying under oath, "Hey, police force, I didn't do this." He authorized them to do whatever they need to do as far as the IDF affidavit to confirm that none of the information used in the Synchrony bank account was his. He gave them his date of birth, his social security number, driver's license ID number. He had a history of identity theft in his background since about 2017, which he had advised them about. So clearly he was a candidate for someone you just say, whoops, sorry, which in this case, the defendant that we sued, Stillman Law, ignored. As I said, remember that thing about the motion for summary disposition? Everything I just told you, Stillman must have received, not just from him, but from me, you know, in triplicate. So they're well aware that he did not owe this debt. And after giving all this stuff to him, they went hard into him in the state case and filed a motion for summary disposition, seeking more than they were seeking in the lawsuit from him, saying there was costs and expenses having to deal with him, generated by him showing them that he didn't owe the debt, and his name on bank statements, their account statements, was not the same as his real name. He got the attorney it was a last resort. So then they, as I said, they let the case go immediately as soon as I get involved. Why am I telling you, repeating that? That's an average case. That's also the facts in this lawsuit. Now, the summary disposition. I'm going to present to you on the motion on the membership services, the actual lawsuit. I'll throw in a couple of other federal lawsuits, impermissible lawsuits. One where a gentleman is going after three car dealerships that shared his personal ID and started trying to get him financed when he told them not to. That's a common thing, by the way. Whenever you go buy a car and they will ask for authority to search for the best deal for you, make sure when you do this, this is great advice, you provide boundaries. It's true in romantic relationships that survive. It's true in financial relationships that survive. Provide boundaries. In other words, say, please go check and see if I'm eligible and what I'm eligible for, but don't have this be carte blanche to go all over town with several banks. And car dealerships have done that. So make sure that any authorization or authority you give someone, this is a side note from my client's case, has boundaries, is cordoned off, has restrictions. Get everything in writing, because it's just a car dealership thing. We're just blasted by the sophisticated atmosphere that's trying to get our money and make us buy the car we don't want. Just be cool and follow my rule. So my client is clearly going to win this federal lawsuit. They want to go hard in and fight him. And as I said, they filed a summary motion against him in the state case to win their side and more money than they were asking for. They went to the same approach and they filed a motion for summary disposition to dismiss his federal case. And I will admit to you, I went in on a very unique approach. It's 1692, let me just say, I think it's BC. Or it may be CB, and I apologize, I should know, I'm an FDCPA attorney. But what it is it's CB. I believe that when a process ever serves you your paperwork, the debt collector that gave him or her, it's mostly her these days, by the way, the information about you and your debt and you're owing a debt, they are third parties that don't qualify for any exception under 1692 CB, which says, thou shalt not give third parties information if you're collecting a debt. They're handing the debt to the process server and saying, serve this guy who won his money. That's a collection effort in my viewpoint. There are six exceptions to that. A consumer, that information can be shared with the consumer. That information can be shared with a creditor attorney, the consumer's attorney, court proceedings, CRAs, consumer reporting agencies, credit reporting agencies. So those are the exceptions. A process server is not an exception to that, right? So I sued these guys for giving information to a third party, which is, if you look at 1692B, it's the only part of the FDCPA regulations that allows you to talk to another person when you're collecting a debt about the debt, a third party. So 1692B is called the location section, meaning you can go to a person's neighbor and go, hey, do you live next to Johnny Bad Debtor over here? Yes, I do. You're allowed to say, do you know where Johnny Bad Debtor is? And you can say that to the third party. You're not allowed to say you're collecting a debt, what the debt is, all that stuff. So it's codified under the FDCPA 1692B about not telling third parties. So 1692CB says you may contact certain individuals when you're collecting a debt, a process server being shared with the information. So I question my clients when a process server serves them. I go, did the process server say anything about the debt? And they'll say to the client, the process server go, hey, I read this. Woof, you're being sued here. You need to do something about it. And I'm like, wait a minute, that can't be allowed. So I sued Stillman Law for doing just that. Nobody believes that's a good case. including most courts I brought it in front of. I stand here today knowing the entirety of the logical reason why I filed that, and I don't see a way out of it. They are breaking the law when they hand it to the processor. I remember one case I was in front of, a district court case, and I tried to explain to the court, look, it says we're debt collectors right on all the lawsuit. Clearly, they're communicating to a process server. She would not listen, because if you believed what I had to say, it would shut down their entire system, which is kind of what she said. So I had to move on from that. So I went into federal court, and the federal court said, Parker, no, this is not a good idea. So I lost the first summary disposition. I think I filed three counts against Stillman. I lost that count. By the way, I don't agree with her opinion. That's not me being an advocate or being a jerk. I literally can see where she went wrong. The other two counts, I survived. And here's the cool thing. In the opinion of the court, the federal court, guess what they focused on? They focused on the fact that after Mr., my client, gave them all this proof of not, it's not his debt, gave them all the evidence one could possibly need to logically say, this poor guy, and then dropped it as soon as he got an attorney. The judge focused on that and said, he's got a claim. Why did they do that? They shouldn't have done that. So you'd think that the law firm would go, okay, enough, we'll just settle this case. They filed another motion for summary disposition against this poor guy. That's like, why are they treating me like this? And now they're saying it's an Article III standing issue. This is about a five-year, for the last 5 years, since 2016, since a case called Spokio, where the federal Supreme Court came out and said, we got to put an end to all these FDCPA cases and consumers looking for their rights. And they started saying, if you want to be in federal court, you got to meet some really tough standards. So here's what the Supreme Court is saying, and this is boring. The irreducible constitutional minimum of standing demands that plaintiffs demonstrate an injury in fact, you're injured by whatever they did, that is fairly traceable to the challenged conduct of the defendant. Whatever the debt collector did to you, you can see from what they did and how you were harmed because it was they that did it, as opposed to guessing or gray areas. And you have to also allege that you're likely to win a favorable judicial decision. You're going to win. So to establish an injury in fact, a plaintiff must show he or she suffered an invasion of a legally protected interest. So under common law, you get certain rights. Statute codification of those rights while separating. Oh, here's my assistant. You have to show that you have a legally protected interest that is concrete and particularized, actual or imminent. So a good example of actual or imminent is they sent me a letter and I'm afraid I'm going to get sued. And now you file a lawsuit against the debt collector for sending you a letter because you don't want to get sued. Well, it's not actual or imminent that you're going to get sued. So that would not have standing. And you can't have conjecture or hypothetical stuff. To be very honest with you, I think this is a great approach because too many FDCPA lawyers were filing class actions under the biggest BS reasons. But the statute said if you have one of the 20 or so violations statutory, you win. Court said none of this nonsense. And standing has been part of entering federal court for the most of the 200 or 300 years we've had federal court review. This was just upholding something that was already there in a FDCPA context. Because frankly, there were too many lawyers making a living filing bullshit cases. Sorry. So this something had to be done. I am a consumer advocate. I have been in as bad a shape as my clients and had to live the life and to get myself out of holes. That's who I am. I'm not on anybody's side or drinking anybody's Kool-Aid. But if you have attorneys filing numerous lawsuits for the wimpiest reasons, it hurts the profession. It hurts the perception of attorneys that want to do good work. So I'm okay for culling the herd in that regard. If the plaintiff does not have a claim to have suffered an injury that the defendant caused and the court can remedy, there is no case or controversy. So those are the terms of art. There has to be a case or controversy for the federal court to step in. And that's TransUnion LLC versus Ramirez, 141 Supreme Court at 2203. So they went after us for Article 3 standing, saying we had no damages traceable to Stillman's actions. Court found for us again. And guess what they cited? How Stillman, were faced with all the mounting evidence that they got the wrong guy, they filed this motion for summary disposition against him. So to hurt him more, guess what they're doing? They're filing summary motions. They filed a third one over some... There was nothing left to file against him, but there was a discovery issue that's really technical and small. They went all in on that. So we're waiting for the federal court to rule on that. But I am showing you on the membership website the lawsuit my client filed. I'm going to add a couple of other FCRA impermissible purpose in-word lawsuits. I'll send you my client's, I'll attach my client's affidavit. In fact, let's just put it up for our YouTube viewers. YouTube viewers, go check out my membership site. If you're in bad shape and let's say you can't afford an attorney, I never could. I can't afford me. This is a great way to go. The membership site has so many videos on every debt collector, creditor, FCRA, FDCPA. It's all there for like, it's $79 a month. For everything, and all the word templates. There are people charging hundreds, thousands of dollars, attorneys, or people just saying, here's an answer. As you know, I give you more than you ask for. Go check it out. So for my YouTube videos, let me put up the affidavit, Shazam. That's my client's affidavit, and he is facing that third motion for summary, and that, I think, was in response to that. He hired an attorney at the last, I mean, he tried to do everything himself, as I explained. Paying for an attorney in some case is part of damages. You got to show damages, as I said, particularized damages coming from the concrete injury, coming from the actions, bad actions of the defendant. My associates are fighting now. You may hear screeching. So you've got to find damages. When my client presents me with a case where the damages have already occurred, I feel better because I don't want anybody accusing my client or me of manufacturing damages. And this is what some might do to get into federal court. If you don't have the damages, stay the heck out of federal court. That's what the Supreme Court is saying. Show damages as a result of the obvious injury caused by the defendant. All right, that's Article 3 standing lesson. I hadn't thought about going there, but my associate Lucky said, why don't you talk about Article 3 standing? So I did that. I hope this is helpful. Like, love, subscribe. Go to the membership site, collectionstoppersolutions.com. Just go check it out. You'll love it. If you are in need, it will fill that need 10 times. It's just a great thing. It comes out of my head every day. And now my next videos, I'm going to start doing these short ones. What's a proof of service? What's an appearance? How do you file a motion? What is an answer? I may even do a layman's law, a layman's dictionary on law terms. I'm going to do these little quick ones with the paperwork you need. So you need a proof of service. I'll give you a quick video and all the proof of services you want to fit to your state, if that's what you need. Again, as always in these cases, I'm not telling you how to live or how to law. You do what your state has you do. I'm not practicing, or you're not my attorney. I think you're my friend, but I'd like you to be my member, and I want to help. So hope this helps. Brian Parker here. Like, love, and subscribe, as I already said. CollectionStopperSolutions.com. Hope this wasn't too boring. Bye-bye now.